A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm Josh, joined today by Ben Roy Turner.
And only Ben Roy Turner, because it's raining, it's pouring. And when it's raining, Scott is somewhere snoring.
That's absolutely right. Unfortunately, Scott can't be with us. He says the real reason is that he's got a lot on and he's too busy, but I really think that he is just scared of the rain and is now sleeping and going into hibernation. He does live on in spirit in this podcast, because we're talking today about the upcoming releases going into October, which I can't believe we've come round to already. That seems crazy, but there are so many games coming out next month, and even the end of this month, September at the moment. So we've decided to round up a lot of the big ones, a lot of the ones that we're personally interested in. And Scott was originally going to be on this podcast, so we've got a lot of Scott games in here that we're going to give a shout out to. But we won't go into everything in complete detail, but the ones that interest us the most we'll absolutely jump into, including one of the first releases of the month, Ben Roy, which I know me and you are incredibly excited for. On October 5th, it's finally time to revisit Alan Wake. It's coming on all consoles, essentially, a fully remastered edition of the game. And yeah, out on October 5th. I'm so excited for this. I cannot wait to play it. But do we have time to slip it in? Because there's so many releases, Ben Roy. Are you making room for Alan Wake Remastered?
I will make enough room as there is until, 2 days later or another big game comes out. But me and Alan have got to have a little bit of a chat and jump back in. I played the game last year when it came to Game Pass and everything else. The older version, the sort of 360 PS, no, just 360 version, because it wasn't on PS3. But I'm excited to have it on PlayStation. You know why? Because I like to, you know, maybe add it to a certain list of games that I've been accruing over the past few years with trophies and all that. But I'm also excited because the model of Alan's going to be representing more the actor. Can't remember his name right now, but they went more that way with the his inclusion in Control. And I'm just looking forward to meshing those worlds even more. And maybe they could slip something in that feels a bit Controlish, but if not, I'm excited to jump into this game again and remember just how long it is.
This is the thing, Ben Roy. This is the thing, because Alan Wake, I regard it as one of my favorite horror games of all time. But the thing is, I've only played it once, very close to when it came out. I played it a few times, but you know what I mean? I owned it once. Yeah. I played it for a few weeks, you know, did all the achievements and stuff, and then haven't touched it since. I almost went back to it when I got my Series X and saw that it was on there. And then obviously this remaster edition was announced. So I kind of gave that a miss and waited for this. But if you've played it recently, you know, going into the remaster edition, one, I want to know if it holds up like my memory thinks it holds up. And two, this is a proper remaster, so are there any tweaks apart from the character models and textures and stuff like you mentioned there that you kind of like hope they bring over to it?
Yeah, so playing it last year, it did play pretty much like a game you'd expect. There's things like, I don't know if it's there on purpose, like artificial things like, you can't run as fast, and it's got like the stamina system in that feels like Alan Wake's 70 years old, where he can't really move as much. But for me, most of it was there. The combat on like normal, I think, was still challenging. And I never got tired of the shine a light and kill. But I know a lot of people back in the day were like, oh, I'm a bit bored of this combat now. I mean, like, to me, it was more interesting than just shooting everything. It was kind of like interesting throwing the torch on people. But yeah, one thing that I'll be surprised with is how many people just go out flat and beat this, because it was a lot longer than I remember. And also because it was going to be an open world game once upon a time. They had a lot of island to pick from. So they just decided to throw in a whole bunch of levels. But apart from that and losing the branding, like Energizer and other things, I wonder what is going to be changed.
It's funny. It's dude, it's so funny you mentioned that, because, you know, I've been playing a Death Stranding Definitive Edition, which you know, yes, because I've been messaging you at length about it because I can't stop playing it. But they did the same thing in that, where some of the branding was removed. And I remember like a lot of people complained about, you know, the product placement at the time in Alan Wake, in Death Stranding. But now it's kind of gone. I kind of miss it. It's weird. It's almost part
What's
of its
gone from identity. Death Stranding?
I don't know if I want to break your heart, but the monster's gone. It's been replaced by own brand Bridges Energy now. The monster's completely out of there, and now you just drink this made up drink and it doesn't work as well. I bought Monster especially for that launch, Benroy, and I was disappointed to see that wasn't even in the game anymore.
I'm surprised I've not seen anyone ripping their faces off on this over Twitter in either anger or celebration, because I know that was a pretty like a questionable thing where you had product placement in the game. But also, yeah, I mean, I never went back from Monster. That converted me from, they converted me back in 2019, back before the war. So yeah, I'm shocked. I thought it would just be the AMC show that was going to be dunked out of the shower, but I wasn't expecting Monster itself to actually be gone.
Well, hilariously, the AMC show is the one that's still there. Norman Reedus still goes for a little wee-wee, and then it comes up with the ride with Norman Reedus stuff. So yeah, it's kind of strange because, you know, when product placement is in games, like when it was first announced, I thought the monster thing was dumb in the moment. I was like, that doesn't really work. That's kind of incredibly distracting. The same with Alan Wake. But when they take it away from it, when you've experienced tens upon tens of hours with it, it almost feels like there's something lost, even if it does increase the integrity of the game. So yeah, Alan Wake Remastered out October 5th, alongside a bunch of other releases. We've got Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, we've got Jet the Far Shore, we've got Hell Let Loose, which is the World War II multiplayer shooter, which is out for next-gen consoles. I think it's already out for PC, or maybe that's when it's coming out for PC. It's definitely been in beta and maybe even early access for a while now. This is being talked about a while, and the rumor is that Hell Let Loose is going to be the PlayStation Plus game for October as well. Do you have any interest in this at all, Benroy? Because I know you're a big multiplayer first-person shooter fan, but I know when you get into a multiplayer first-person shooter, you become entrenched in it for years.
Well, at the moment, it's we've gone back to PUBG, me and my friends. There's Aliens Fireteam Elite in there, and Predator was just free recently. So we're kind of like floating around. Predator is probably going to be deleted soon, unfortunately, because there's another game coming out this month, which is going to grab us. But this Hell Let Loose, I was looking at it before we'd recorded. And I was just like, are you doing anything? It made me think it was a bit more tactical at first, but when I saw it, it just seemed like a shooter in that sort of time period. And if it's got no sort of like special source that jumps at me straight away, which it hadn't in admittedly the brief time I've checked this out, then but at the same time, if it's free, I'm gonna maybe look at it once or twice, like I did Destruction All-Stars, that fire of a game. But for me, it's gonna be at the bottom of the list.
I think that's fair. It's definitely the one that's going to, for most people, I think, especially in the mainstream, especially casuals, maybe fly under the radar. I think if it is on the PlayStation Plus games, which will be announced by the time this podcast goes up, I'm sure. Like, that always happens when we make predictions like this. We always put the podcast up and then, you know, we find out one way or the other. I think if it does go on PlayStation Plus, it'll obviously get a lot more eyes on it. And hopefully it does well. You know, I like the idea of this kind of big scale, more tactical game, like you said. And if it nails that kind of vibe, it'll definitely tide me over, because there's a big Battlefield 2042 gap in the schedule now. That's been delayed until November. So that was going to be my first person shooter of the month. And now obviously that's fighting with Call of Duty next month. And then this will obviously be fighting with Call of Duty as well, because they're both World War II games. But yeah, like you mentioned, all of this is kind of coming in the shadow of the major blockbuster release on October 7th. That is Far Cry 6. This is going to be the game, probably the biggest game of the entire month, that I think will sell the most, and that will definitely get the most interest and the most traffic, and I know we're interested in it. Yes. Has your opinion on Far Cry 6 changed at all as the year has gone by, Ben Ruggs? I know we've talked about this game a lot, but as we get closer to launch, I find myself getting more excited for it.
I've seen some more previews on like around the YouTubes, certain creators that I trust, and it looks good, man. It looks like just one of those big, fat, juicy open world burgers that I can sort of like marinate in for a month or so and just pick away at. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna be playing this in the daytimes and then going back and chilling out with Alan in the evening. So, you know, it's just gonna be Javier Bardem. Not Javier Bardem. I was watching Skyfall the other day. That's why I'm thinking of him. Giancarlo Esposito during the day, just chilling on his like fake Cuba Island, and then going chilling with Alan Wake in the evening. That's so for me. I'm well out for this. I want to get in a Far Cry game when it comes out for once, because as I've said before, I've only ever played the first one and then number 5 years after it came out. So I'm looking forward to seeing, being sort of like the more zeitgeist, being part of the conversation as we go. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. How about you?
That's wild to me. Like even though you've mentioned that multiple times on these podcasts and in videos and in private, I almost can't believe it, because it's such a big franchise. Like, you forget how big Far Cry is. Like, you know, Far Cry 5 did gangbusters. Obviously, even 4 was really big. 3 was the kind of thing that really pushed into the mainstream. And for me with Far Cry 6, even though I do think it doesn't necessarily look like the most cutting edge game, especially visually, which I've always had a bit of a problem with. Like the Far Cry formula is the one Ubisoft thing for me that hits every time. You know, a lot of people are sick of their open world shenanigans, but for me, when it comes to this specific franchise, it hits. And Far Cry 5 was a real return to form after I thought Far Cry 4 was a little bit ropey. So if they kind of continue down that path and maintain the quality of the core gameplay that was in that game, because I think the core shooting mechanics in Far Cry 5 were really, really solid. If they managed to implant this onto Far Cry 6 with obviously this bigger world, the mix of urban environments this time around, a bigger focus on that, and then these mad abilities like the jetpack launcher, I hope it all comes together into something coherent and good, and hopefully it's going to be a win for that team, because I feel like the next Far Cry has to be something radically different, right? Like, I don't know go with Far Cry 6. I'm not sure.
You say it's going to be radically different, but if it just has another big actor in it that is a really good villain, then if it just keeps selling, then I guess it would. Like, at this point, it's a bit like the Assassin's Creed. The Far Cry games are just going to be first-person shooters in big dictatorship-controlled areas. It just depends where they can go, I guess.
Totally. I mean, you know, you mentioned the big-name actors there. For me, even though they obviously hit...
Get Javier Bardem in there and have that, you know... What's that island out of Skyfall where there's no one left?
You're the James Bond fan.
There's this island... I don't know. I don't remember every location of every one, but there's an island where Javier Bardem's like... talking about rats, touching up Daniel Craig for a bit, but then like it's a legit island where it was evacuated due to like mining fumes out of the mines. So just have it on that island to get Javier in there and let's go.
Well, you can't use that because that's going to get used in the IO Interactive James Bond 007 game. So you can't just use up all of these locations in non-Bond games. That's not how it works. I just hope they don't waste Giancarlo in this, you know. Obviously, me and you are big fans of
the ads.
His
are good
work.
Enough, man. The ads are already like getting me going for it.
I listen. I don't want to rain your parade. I don't want to do that right now. But with previous Far Cry games, right, they've always relied so heavily on this villain trope. Like, that's their bread and butter. That's like their big showpiece at the heart of the story. Even when the story doesn't make sense, which it often doesn't, because you go through all of these like drug infused kind of like dream sequence and stuff.
Yeah.
Even through all of that bullcrap, you know, like the main performances are always so good, but sometimes the writing doesn't quite support them in the way that you want it to, especially with Far Cry 5. I thought the villains, while performed really well and interesting, weren't given as much focus or as much depth as they needed to. So I hope this is definitely a VAS situation from Far Cry 3 rather than a Joseph Seed situation from Far Cry 5, for instance. I just hope they give them the writing that they deserve, because Ben, right, even in The Mandalorian, right, I kind of think Giancarlo, he's better. He's not better than this, but give him more stuff to do, man. Like, put him in more scenes. Give him the big monologue problem, or something.
The problem is once you introduce him and he's in there, at one point, I'm not going to say what, but when something so powerful comes into a scene and he's not someone imbued with the Force, what is he going to do after a wave and a glowy stick around for a bit? That's my thing, and I'm interested in, I mean, like, we could get a totally different Giancarlo in the next season of Mandalorian, who knows? But at the same time, even if we have as little of him as, like, say, a Clifford Unger in Death Stranding, and he's just on the radio going, I'm gonna take you to Drugland now for a bit, and then by the way, if you've got that alligator, because you're gonna, or crocodile, I can never tell the difference, and never care, sorry anyone who does care about that, I'm gonna take you out into the water somewhere, now you gotta fight some boats, anything like that. Just just let him monologue at me three or four majorly important times, and I'm easy at that point.
I know what you mean. If he just kind of like rang me up and was like, "Oh, mate, I'm gonna batter you," I'd be like, "Aye, fine."
I get what you mean, though. Fair, John. With the Mandalorian stuff though as well, so
yeah, I just you know, I like him so much that I just hope he's given the material that's worthy of an actor of his caliber. Anyway, and moving on, because this month is packed, like I said, we've got Metroid Dread on the 8th alongside the Switch OLED. Ben Roy, do you have any interest in the Switch OLED or Metroid Dread?
Switch OLED can get in the bin. I don't care about that. Like, give me something more than that. I bought this game, Metroid Dread, and then I returned it. And then I just said, no, actually, I don't want it, because I'm not going to have to, because I really wanted to play it. I've played some of the Metroids in the past, but mainly I want a Prime. If, as soon as a Metroid Prime is on my lap, there, I'm in. But for this, I bought it, then I reassessed what I'm playing for the rest of the year. I'm like, well, nothing is coming out in November that I want, but still, all these games are going to spill over. So Metroid got returned.
It's a shame, because that's kind of happened with me as well. Like, when it was first announced, obviously I'm not, it's not that I'm not into Metroid, just I don't have that familiarity with
it. It's a different time, man. Like, it was massive when we were in the 90s, when we were young children still, so.
Well, no, you're completely right. Like, I feel like, you know, there is a gamer of a certain era, of a certain generation, who, you know, Metroid is like the holy grail to. And for all intents and purposes, Dread looks like something that people have been waiting for years, if not decades, right? And coming alongside this new Switch, it seems like a good selling point for Nintendo as a whole. I know the Switch OLED wasn't exactly the Switch Pro that a lot of people were hoping it would be, but it seems to be getting pretty solid previews. If I didn't have a Switch, that would be the one I got, because I like to play it handheld. So I think it's quite a good game to go alongside with it. However, there's also another Switch game, and this is one I've talked about quite a lot, but I'm putting it in here. I'm not going to talk about it at length, but I want to give you a pitch, Ben Roy. Disco Elysium, The Final Cut, is out on Switch on the 12th of October. Now, me and you kind of have this tradition that we didn't necessarily start together, but over the Christmas period, we venture back to the places where we grew up to visit relatives, and we have a lovely little love-in with our Switch while we are there. Can I at all convince you to try Disco Elysium, The Final Cut, on your Switch when you do make that pilgrimage back home?
I think if it's going to be anywhere, it'll be on the PlayStation. I'm like, for me, Switch, at this point, Switch stuff is the novelty of, oh, I'm playing Resident Evil in the sky, or with horrible controls are even worse, or I'm going back to a Mario. And I have, as I also mentioned to you before, like, this was, I think this game was probably announced, Galaxy's been sitting on my Switch waiting to be played.
Fair.
If this was like a Hades situation like last year, where this game wasn't already out on a PlayStation.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I would go there, but the thing is, I'm very sort of like, if I can concentrate as much into one place I can, then I do. I wish I could help you out here, Josh, but at the same time, the PlayStation would call to me and understand. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to say no, right, because I'm honest, but at one point I will play this game. Just depends. Just don't know when.
I'm just pleased I shot my shot. You know, I would have been very disappointed if we wrapped this up, but I didn't have my sales pitch to you to please try and play this game. So, you know, that's totally fine. I hope you get to it eventually. Because
Mario,
you know,
Galaxy will be there first.
I understand that, because that's the game I'm also playing, because I got Mario Galaxy. I got the Galaxy, what are the other ones? 64 and the other one that we
crap shine. Like
that, I don't know what that means.
Sunshine, but crap.
That's the one. That's
Corruption,
it.
Yeah.
So I played 64 last year, and I've saved the other two games for this Christmas. So that's going to be my Switch thing back as well. I like that we link up on this. Also out on the 12th is Back for Blood, which I know you'll be looking forward to with your squad for a while. And this is the one that we talked about, because there was a beta, or maybe an alpha, released the other month.
It was a beta,
that we jumped on and played. And it was promising. It wasn't quite as polished as I wanted it to be personally, but that was obviously a month or two ago. They've had a lot of time to tweak it. I'm hoping this comes out and it's a confident launch. I don't want it to be, because this is you know, the same developers who made the original Left 4 Dead, who made Evolve and stuff. I don't want this to come out feeling a little bit half-baked and us to be here on October 12th going, this might be a good game in November. This might be a good game in December. This might live up to its potential in January. I just hope it comes out swinging.
Yeah, it felt like what they were adding was taken away from it, and just sort of like put, as you would say, putting too much butter on not enough bread this time, instead of, you know, the way around. Switch up the old Bill by Baggins saying there. But for me, it's not free, but it's on Game Pass, so it comes with my Gears 5 tax, so I'm going to play it. I was going to buy it as it was anyway. But I'm looking forward to seeing this game in its full light, and maybe having the tutorials front me in a better fashion, and not say, like, I feel like games recently really either left me alone or forced me into a tutorial section where I'm just like, oh, like with Deathloop, where it just kept going and going, or with this in its beta form where it was so brief and I was like, here. And there was so much front of me at once. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they onboard players, and I just want to shoot some
zombies, even though I think they're more alien-ish. Who knows? But yeah, I am ready for it in any respect.
Did you get World War Z Aftermath? Oh, is that out yet? Is that...
I reviewed it when it first came out. What was it? I think Aftermath is just either some Game of the Year edition with more levels and things like that. Oh. But when World War Z came out, that was interesting, that one, because it was like a Left 4 Dead, but with more zombies, but with less character. And after a few runs of it, we couldn't convince the third in our group to get it. After we played it for a bit, it's just like, now I've reviewed it and it was kind of just there. I'm kind of just done with it in a way. And that was literally almost another Left 4 Dead clone with their version of Hunter and everything else in there. So,
yeah, totally. I feel like, you know, there've been so many Left 4 Dead clones, like you said, and this is obviously the proper spiritual successor to it, right? Or it's supposed to be.
That's why I'm so ready for it, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And the fact that it is on Game Pass, I think, is a huge win. Like, that's how I'm going to play it, you know, because at the moment it is kind of this shaky thing that's unproven. So the fact that, you know, like Hell Let Loose, potentially, if that does come to PlayStation Plus, it'll get a lot of eyes on it. It'll get a lot of people playing it. And hopefully they don't use those players as play testers, but actual, you know, community members instead. And I hope it makes a better first impression than it did in the beta. I understand the pressures of a beta to communicate everything that a game is about and make a solid first impression, but I hope that when it comes out properly, you can take it at its own pace and it will ease you into those systems rather than overwhelm you, like you said, because there's nothing worse for me anyway than just being overwhelmed with information by a game going into it, like having all of those different icons to look at, all of those different cards to get to grips with. It can really be off-putting, I find, and it's a mistake that a lot of big games these days make, I think,
especially when it's in tiny text box form and it stops you from playing the game. You can't stop it and it forces you to look at these bits. And even in the case of Deathloop, just go shoot another shot of Deathloop. When you can change the text to, I'm normally increasing text to the massive these days because just eyes getting older. And then that text in that box is nothing like what you just did. So it's like half, if not a quarter of the size. So I'm like, what's that say? As the, you know, trying to get close to the screen. But yeah, improve your tutorials or give players a chance to be like, Can you leave me alone for now, please, for a minute, please, and let me sort myself out. And one more pet peeve before we move on. Multiplayer games. If you're a multiplayer game, do not force people to play something single player, like for an hour, for half an hour, an hour. I think I can't remember the last one that properly did that. But when I just want to play something with some friends and we load it up, and, oh, there's a half an hour tutorial. I'll play for you in a bit. Don't do that. Rubbish.
I know. Scott has a pet peeve with that as well. I'm sure he would say if he was on here, where he just wants to get in the game. You just want to get in the game at that point. Yeah, especially if you've played the beta, if you've been keeping up with it, you know, there should be some kind of way for you to just be like, I know this information in a way. I know what I want to do, even if you don't know the information. I know what I want to do. I want to jump in and just figure it out as I go rather than, go through this clunky thing.
The I've played video games button sort of thing. Yeah, I'm good. I'll work out how to sprint and I'll work out how to knife someone in the throat. It's fine.
Now, mate, you've got to understand that left trigger is to aim and right trigger is to shoot. On the 15th, I would be remiss, speaking of Scott Tailford, not to mention the Demon Slayer game, which means nothing to me. I'm not going to lie. I have not seen the show. I think it is a show. I know it's an anime, Ben Roy. I know you're into your anime, but I don't know if this is at all up your street.
Unfortunately, it's not a Sailor Moon game, so I don't really know much about it. I'm not gonna be honest, when we were going back over the list before that, I intentionally forgot to skipped over this one because there wasn't much time. But I'm sure people will enjoy this. If Demon Slayer seems like a property with some fans, I'm making up things as I go and I'm rambling until you force me into the next game, Josh.
This is the one that's going to get us killed because I know Demon Slayer obviously has like a huge fandom. It's like one of the biggest things ever. It's just completely not my radar. So I hope that is good and I hope the people looking forward to it continue to enjoy it. On the 22nd, we have potentially the big horror game for the end of the year, which is the Dark Pictures Anthology House of Ashes, which is the third game in the Dark Pictures Anthology I keep messing that up, in the Dark Pictures anthology. This time we're following, I'm just going to read you the official synopsis, actually, Benroy. It says, we're following a military unit searching for chemical weapons who unearth something far deadlier. In the ruins of a buried Sumerian temple deep beneath the Arabian desert, something evil is awakened, savage and unstoppable. A nest of ancient and unearthly creatures has found a new prey to hunt. I'm not going to lie to you, I've been keeping up with the Dark Pictures anthology series, but I've never really jumped in myself. I've watched them be played, but I've never felt the urge to actually pick them up myself or interact with them. They seem almost like something that I can consume passively, almost through other people, rather than engage with. But I'm gonna go back through, obviously, because I've seen what happens at the first two, and then play this one at the end of the month. That's my plan. I know the first one, Man of Medan, is on Game Pass. I've downloaded that. I'm going to play the second one. I'm going to play the third one, and I'm going to try to have a good time because I love Until Dawn so much, and I want to know what this studio is doing. Do you have any interest in playing these games?
Hear me out, all right? Until Dawn was phenomenal and almost perfect in every way that I needed it. I'm not saying it's a perfect game. Anyone shooting there, because nothing's perfect. Man of Medan, when I finally got around to playing it, I think it was on sale like last year. The pull for that for me was being able to play that one co-op. So I played it with a friend over the internet. So we saw different things and that was quite interesting. And we had sort of different ways through, and I died several times because he is a bit useless, and then sometimes I'll just let him die, just be like, well, that you're dead now as well. But that, I felt that was the hook for me there. I don't know if they've all been multiplayer in that respect, but for me that was the part of it that really drew me in, being able to go into these stories with a friend and go for each part. But it never quite landed like Until Dawn, and after playing Man of Medan, I was like, I'm okay, I'm gonna stop here. But the thing is, right, once upon a time ago, in the early 2000s, we had a bunch of games set during these conflicts. And I was like, oh, it's weird to see that it's been like 15 odd years later. And it's weird to go back with a game like this where they say the synopsis, looking for chemical weapons, gives me a bit of a cringe. And then going into it and then finding out how it's going, how the game starts to go down, how it switches into the horror mode. It's very interesting because it's weird in a way. There's potential for this time period, but I don't know in what way, and I'm interested, but at the same time, this is on the back burner for me.
I know what you mean. It's a setting and it's a setup that, you know, for me, I wouldn't necessarily have thought of if I was making a horror experience, but that's almost fascinating in and of itself to see if they can, you know, do something creative and do something terrifying with that. You know, watching the trailer, there's definitely shades of The Descent in there. It felt very The Descent at times, which it's fine by me, one of my favorite horror movies of all time. But yeah, I'm tentatively watching this one as I have been them all. And I'm just kind of waiting for that one game that makes the Dark Pictures anthology kind of click into place. You know, I think there's going to be eight of these bad boys. So one of them has to be the kind of, you know, crown jewel of the whole piece and be the one that kind of makes you go, oh yeah, this was definitely all worth it. This was amazing. Hopefully it's House of Ashes, but maybe it's going to be one of the infinity other games that this company produces. After this, heading out to the end of the month, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy, which is out on October 26th. And even though I haven't looked at your face while I read this out, I almost feel like I know exactly what you're going to say about this. Benroy, Guardians of the Galaxy, go.
Haven't we spoke about this game for the past 6 weeks running? At this point, I think I've said I'm all right. I'm good. That's it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think it looks much better than the Avengers, but at this point, it's definitely it's a wait and see game, man. I'm waiting to see how the reviews go down. I'm waiting to see what other people think, because I want to give it a chance, but I'm kind of superheroed out anyway. Never mind going into the this game specifically. I like the Guardians of the Galaxy as characters. I think visually it looks very interesting. I like that you can, you know, customize the dialogue, choose your different dialogue options. The combat looks good, but I feel like this is going to be a good game, but maybe not a spectacular one. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope the reviews come out in the 10 out of 10s, 9 out of 10s across the board. But the vibe I'm getting is I can pick this up in January for cheaper and I might not miss much.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be one of those that's going to be just there, and it's going to be
say between 5 and 7 on some people's game of the year list, and it will score like around an 8 maybe. It depends depends if it's broken or if there's some jokes in there people don't like. But I think it's just gonna be just there. It will sell. It doesn't seem like it's gonna sink as much cash as the Avengers did. So like for example, like a Watch Dogs last year, whatever one that was called, which I actually do own, but I still can't remember
Legion.
The name. Yeah, like that was a game that I was just like, I want a game that was just there. I wanted a game that was just there. And I feel like this is just the just there of this year.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm intrigued, but I can't say I'm falling over myself to pre-order it or anything at the moment. Rounding out the month, though, we've got a trio of games. We've got Chernobylite, which is one that you said you've been seeing a lot of. We've got Fatal Frame, Maiden of Blackwater, and we've got Ubisoft's Riders Republic. So a pretty big month for Ubisoft, really, overall. Out of those three games, do any of those intrigue you, or is that just kind of like you're done for the month, you're waiting for November to come around?
Well, as someone who went to Chernobyl and loves Metro and is on the second Metro book, finally, Chernobyl Lite is something that I want to delve into, and it may get bumped to the month after, but it's one that I want to jump into before the year's over. It's weird. It looks like an early 2000s sort of like shooter that's trying to be a bit more than it is, than it can be. But the graphics look like they're almost super like recent now. So it looks a mold of stuff like that, and something that we wouldn't have normally got on the consoles maybe like a generation ago or something. So Chernobyl, I just let me be some human from Russia going around, or human from that. But you don't have to be a Russian. You can be any part of the east of Europe or anywhere in the world, really. Let me be anyone. But you know what I mean? That sort of vibe. And I love my Metro, and I want to go back, because this is going to amp me up for Stalker 2.
How are the Metro books
next year?
If you're on the second one now.
The second one is very different to the games, because it's sort of like almost like an anthology of the Metro, and it sort of like doesn't really follow Antion. But the first one, the first one is so close to the first book, and then the writer who wrote the games as well brings the third book back into more of the line of Last Light and stuff like that. But the Metro books are haunting, and it's just, you even because I'm listening to them, because I'm doing things like I'm just driving around collecting packages in GTA, and it's just such a thing to listen to and just sort of be pulled into the atmosphere. And I just want more of that world of the Metro, because it's just so fascinating to me, and the idea of hiding in the Metros during a nuclear apocalypse and just monsters and humans from any which angle.
That's actually great to hear, man, because I really enjoyed the Metro games myself, and every single time I played them I always like threatened myself. I'd be like, right, this time you're going to read the books.
The first book is better than the first game, in my opinion. Like the story of the first book, especially listen to it, pulled me in so much. It's like, I just need to smash this book out, and it was so good. I went off books for a bit. I don't know, I couldn't concentrate for a while because of the world. I'm just doing that there just to like make it a bit more fun. But and I just wanted to listen to people chat random stuff like we're doing now. But this book, I've been pulled back into it, and I can't wait to see it through.
So there you go. The most anticipated game of the year is actually the second Metro book. So that's awesome. I want to know what you guys think. Over on Twitter, you can follow me at Josh Brune. You can follow Ben Roy at
Ben Roy Turner. And I also want to play Fatal Frame, but I know we're out of time.
I know, me too. Like that's one that I've been wanting to get to, but I just don't know enough about the series, truthfully, to talk about your confidence. But that's all I need to know. I know it's scary. I like the premise. I think it looks good. Let us know over on Twitter if you can about which of these games you're looking forward to. If we missed any, because October is so packed, there were some we had to cut here. I'm looking forward to Demon Slayer. What is Demon Slayer? Please let me know if I need to watch that or catch up and get back into the zeitgeist, because I feel very, very old not knowing about that. Yeah, please let us know over on social media. And if you want to leave this podcast a review, a like, all that stuff. I've never done this before. I've never wrapped up a podcast, so I'm going to keep rambling. Thank you. Goodbye. Please tune in to the next podcast, which will be out on Friday. It's Scott and Jules, and we'll see you next week. That was awesome. Smooth. No one even noticed. It wasn't Scott doing that perfect outro there. Goodbye.
Scott's asleep somewhere. Good night.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.